Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let me ask you a question. What are your expectations for your life? What are your expectations for your life? According to Dennis Prager, Christopher White over here was at a meeting with Cushman & Wakefield where they brought this guy in as their speaker. In his book, Happiness is a Serious Problem, I've talked about it before because it's so profound. It's called a Human Nature Repair Manual. According to Prager, one of the things that undermines happiness the most are our expectations. Now, an expectation is a certitude that something will happen. Taking the good we have for granted and feeling entitled to the things we want. So, for instance, instead of waking up every morning and saying it's great to be alive and being thankful for life, if I expect to be alive, I may undermine my thankfulness for life. And Prager says that gratitude is the most important source of happiness, an attitude of gratitude. This is a little fragile here, okay? Now, let's check it out a little bit. Is Prager saying that we should not expect to be healthy? Yes. Somebody took the bait over here. Thank you. Yes, he is. He is saying this. We can and should desire to be healthy and work at being healthy, but ideally we should awaken every day and be happy about our good health just as if we just received the wonderful news that a lump was diagnosed as benign. That's the ideal, that you would have that sense of happiness. When we go out for a job interview, we should prepare well and go with confidence. Of course, right? Of course we do that. But if we expect to get hired for a job and we don't, we will become unhappy. Who knows what can happen in the interview? It could be that one of the candidates is the nephew of the president of the company. Prager says, don't set yourself up for unhappiness with expectations. This book is so profound, my wife has outlined the whole thing and put it on cards, and when she's stuck in traffic because she's impatient, she takes them out and thinks about it. This guy is profound. Happiness is a serious problem. Man, this is a fragile mindset, and you may not get it right away. I'm not sure I do, because that's one thing I think I do. I have expectations. But men, happiness is a serious problem. Now, men, if anyone should have had some great expectations, it should have been Abraham, our character in the book of Hebrews here. Considering what he has been through with the Lord, you'd think he'd be entitled to some expectations. Let's go over there this morning. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, before we get into the text today, by way of review, let me give you a running start. Abraham was in his 50s. He's over in a pagan culture, over in Ur of the Chaldees, east of Jerusalem, about 800 miles or so, somewhere over there. So he's a prominent businessman in a pagan culture that worshiped the moon. And the Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He's in his 50s. He calls him to go to a place which the Lord told him he would later show him where it was. Just go. So he went. So So he goes with his father. You know, this is an ancient culture. They always travel in community. The camels, the sheep, the goats, the donkeys, you know, the whole entourage. They move up along the Euphrates River. He gets up in a place called Haran. He's up there for about 20 years. The scholars think maybe his father didn't want to go any farther, so he had to wait for his father to die. And then he comes down in his 70s into the promised land. So the Lord showed him eventually where he was going to bring him. Now, the Lord was a little slower with his with the promise he had made him for a son. But he did deliver when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. And now this morning, Abraham is around 115 years old, and his son Isaac is a great source of delight to him. As a matter of fact, the word Isaac means laughter. He and his wife are hilarious with joy that they have this little boy. And they are enjoying Isaac. And now, men, in light of all this, shouldn't Abraham expect to enjoy watching Isaac grow up and having his own family, especially in light of God's promise? You know, the Lord brought him out, I think it's around the 15th chapter of Genesis. He brought him out and he says, Isaac, Abraham, look up there. Look at the stars. The millions of stars, he says, so shall your offspring be. Shouldn't he have some expectations? But men, in Genesis 22, God does the unthinkable. He tells Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. Open with me, or you're already over there, are you? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's pick up in verse 17 today. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He did it. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Reckoned means measured. It's through Isaac that the multitude that I told you about that would come through your seed will be reckoned or measured or counted. That's a kind of an accounting term, okay? He does it. Abraham does it. Men, in apparently incredible grief, he wakes up early the next morning. He's a very wealthy man with scores of servants, saddles the donkey himself, and cuts the wood himself. Have you ever found yourself doing that when you're a little perplexed or upset? You find doing some things physically help you out a little bit, relax you a little bit. Maybe you go out and cut the yard or take a jog. Well, that's what I think is happening here in the Genesis account. It gives us this level of detail. He saddles the donkey up, cuts the wood, and starts out on a three-day journey with Isaac up to Mount Moriah, which the Lord told him to take him up to Mount Moriah on a three-day journey. And then, man, he almost goes down on his knees with grief when his precious son says to him, Father, Father, yes, my son, the fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The father almost can't handle it emotionally. And God answered him, one commentator says, with his fingers crossed behind his back, he says, my son, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. How did Abraham do this? How did he stay faithful? You know, this is all about faith, right? How did he stay faithful in the middle of this great test? God puts him right up against the wall. Will Abraham trust me with what he treasures the most? Here's the deliverable, Larry. Where's Larry? Okay. Here's the deliverable. Will he give me his expectations and trust me? How does he do it? Man, he does it the way that every one of us has to do it when our faith is tested. Look at verse 19 here this morning. Abraham reasoned, underline that, he reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Man, he reasoned, he kept his head. Didn't the Almighty God call me out of Ur 50 years ago or so? Bring me to the promised land? Didn't he give me a son when Sarah and I were over the hill? I can trust him. I can trust him. Granted, it is a bit confusing. He did say up here, 18, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is a bit confusing. Are you perplexed this morning? Some of you guys in difficult situations, relationally or occupationally or financially, isn't it a bit perplexing? Huh? It's okay. Look up 2 Corinthians 4:6. Paul says he was perplexed. If Paul can be perplexed, you can be perplexed. We can be perplexed. I guess God, he comes up with this idea. I guess God is planning to raise Isaac from the dead. I guess that's what he's going to do. Of course, this whole thing, you realize, is a type of Christ, right? That's what the theologians call it. It's a picture. It's a shadow in advance. It's a shadow in advance of Christ. And of course, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead because Abraham was ready to plunge the knife right into the heart of Isaac until the Lord called out of heaven and stopped him. He had Isaac, the Genesis account tells us he was all tied up. He was laying on top of the wood, on top of a stone altar that Abraham had built himself. He was ready to do it. He was going to do it. And men, we are here today, 4,500 years later, the beneficiaries of this man's faith. He was the first Hebrew. And Paul tells us in the New Testament, if we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It all started with this man. If you want to read a book that'll blow your mind, get this book, Our Father Abraham. The Jewish roots of the Christian faith. It all started with this man. Salvation is from the Jews. They delivered Jesus Christ to the world. This is our Father. Incredible. And here we are this morning talking about this man. How do we emulate this man? He was called God's friend. The scripture calls him the friend of God. Wouldn't you like to be called the friend of God? I know this guy John or Jerry or Pastor JD. He's a friend of God. When we have doubts and fears, when it comes to our careers, he's starting to get close to the bone now, right? Our careers, woo, to our health, to our children, to our very lives, men, I want you to do something with me this morning. I want you to put your hand out here this morning with me. Okay? And now what I want you to do, I want you to take some expectation that you have and put it in your hand. Some expectation you have. Maybe it's your career, maybe whatever it is, okay? Put it in your hand and close your hand. All right, now take it, lift it up. Lift it up, and I want you to give it to the Lord. Go ahead. Thank you. I tried to do that one time. I had this deal. It was going to give me, men, immortality. I was involved with a couple of lunatics in this deal that we were only about 25 years early. And I was the guy supposed to get the money for the deal. I was trying to be a husband, a father, to two children. IBM was working me over 12 hours a day, and I was doing this part-time. You know, that's the level of lunacy that I was at. And the Lord, it took him about 6 months, and he just peeled it away. One finger at a time. It took so long for me to let go of that. He said, I got a better deal for you, Chris. I got a deal for you. Men, we need to listen to God's direction. We need to tune into His will. Whatever we reason, whatever God has planned for us is better than any plan we can come up with, right? I mean, He who did not spare His own Son, but gladly gave Him up for us all, how will He also, along with Him, gladly give us all things? That's the argument. Is it a reasonable argument? Men, every breath we take, every moment we live, every person in our family is a gift from God. And if we learn to give our expectations to Him, then happiness won't be such a serious problem. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive us for being so wayward. We know what You've done for us. Yet we still hang on to stuff that You haven't planned for us. We still have our own agenda. We bring our agenda to You and ask You to bless it. Help us this morning. Give every man here, especially me, the grace to just look for Your agenda for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.